God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke, and God said, let there be light. And because the Lord spoke, we believe. And we speak about the happenings in this world, and we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We live here in this world, but we choose to not be transformed by it, and instead to renew our minds daily in the Lord Jesus. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I would be lying if I said I've ever been through a hurricane, and I cannot imagine how I would respond. I think I'd be afraid for my family. I think I would fear for the life of my little daughter, who's in fact not little anymore, but in fact is technically an adult. I think I would fear for our cats, as minor as that seemed when the figurehead Biden spoke about his cat and his Corvette in light of what happened in Maui. I think I would probably have fear for economics. What's going to happen? Can I pay for any of this? Will insurance cover it? I think I'd have a lot of fear. And I think that's natural for people to go through this. I'd be lying if I said I'd ever been through a firestorm. Yeah, I've driven up a hill, a mountain, when there was a fire approaching the home of my my aunt and uncle, and their kids were home, my nieces, nephews. And I drove up with my grandpa, and grandpa chose to disobey fire authorities. And we got Brett and Lisa out. But I'd be lying if I said that I felt like we were in imminent danger of being burned to death. And if I were, I think I'd be terribly afraid. Afraid it would hurt. Afraid of hearing the voice of my daughter crying out in pain. I think that would cause me enormous fear. I was on an airplane once, and it seemed like it was going to crash. It was fishtailing and rocking back and forth and having huge drops up and down trying to land in Seattle. And the pilots said, we're only going to have one more chance at this. And if we don't make it here, we're going to have to divert. But to where? Because the storm was so big. And as we began that final descent, and it was bad, and the flight attendants asked us to get into the crash protection position, a young woman seated next to me reached over and grabbed my hand to hold my hand. And a little kid across the aisle was screaming in fear. And I looked over at the little boy and I lied. I said, are you afraid that we're going to crash? And he said, yes. And I said, this isn't how airplane crashes happen. I've been through a lot of them. I hope God forgives me that lie. The boy relaxed, but what point was there in having him in terror? Well, we can't lie to ourselves about what's going on with the hurricane. And from the newest part of me, I say that on purpose, from the newest part of me, the renewed part of me, I want you to know that in Maui and now in Florida, that I hurt with you, not in the same way, not at the same level. I'd be a liar to say it's even possible for me to have inside me what's inside you. When we're in the body of Christ, when a member suffers, we are all to suffer. When a member hurts, we are all to hurt. And certainly not everybody in the path of this hurricane is with the Lord Jesus or has accepted him. And it doesn't mean we love them less. But it means that for those of us in the body, I believe that we can access the Holy Spirit that's in one in each of us. When we accept Lord Jesus and we agree to be changed by him, and we agree to go on mission with him, and the Holy Spirit is resident in us, into us moves the kingdom of heaven, which is an astonishingly magnificent thought. And we know that God Almighty hears prayers. The Holy Spirit is our special helper. And I believe the Holy Spirit can help us feel the fear and the confusion of our brothers and sisters. And I believe it's a gift for us because we're all going to face fears. The Lord Jesus warned us, you're going to face trials in this life. And don't be surprised by that. And this is a trial that you could say is coming from nature, and it is. Tomorrow we'll get into the deep, well, not deep, but the, I guess, annoying, cold, calculated use of this for politics. We might touch on that a little bit in this segment, but I will focus on it tomorrow and really out of respect for the nature of live radio. We have an opportunity to speak into this right now and to speak in with prayer. And also to take this moment as these winds rage to again apply the metaphor that the Lord Jesus used about wise people building their houses on these foundations, on that strong foundation of his word. Multiple places we could build. God's word never returns void. And there are people who built their houses on sand and soft foundations, and so true is that of spiritual foundations. As I'm speaking all this, I'm still absolutely buzzing, I might say, from this experience I've had in really reading about the new earth and Randy Alcorn's description of the new earth, his interpretation of it. I spoke this morning with my pastor. I attend Real Life Ministries in Idaho. I spoke this morning with my pastor, Jim Putman. We do a once-a-month appearance. He's on my podcast. And I talked about this new love I have of the idea of the new earth, or rather not the idea, but the feeling of it. This suffering, and there's no doubt there's suffering, there's mental anguish, and perhaps there'll be loss of life and injuries. There are first responders at this moment keyed up to go into the storm. And if I were their families, I would be afraid. I would feel fear. And I might pray. I might pray along the lines of asking the Lord Jesus. I might say something like, praying to the Father, Father God, I trust you in all things. And I know that you are the firm foundation. And I know that there will be no storms in the new earth. And Father God, we're told in the Bible so often to not fear. And I fear. Where I have this fear, Lord, please help me not have it and to trust in you. Where I worry, let me remember to be still and know that you're the Lord. Where I cannot seem to stop my hands from shaking or my worry of finances overtaking me, I would ask you, Lord, to have the Holy Spirit stop it for me, to rest in the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that only you can provide. And I would ask you this, Lord, in the name of your loving Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's easy for me to pray that because I'm 2,000 miles away. And I might also take this opportunity to point to the cultural hurricanes that are raging through this country. The cultural hurricanes, and we're going to talk at length about this tomorrow. The cultural hurricanes, for instance, in California, that has led their attorney general to give a speech wherein he effectively describes the family as a dark and dangerous place, simply not safe for children. He does this as he pursues the ability for teachers under cover of law to refuse to tell parents that their kids are pretending to be a boy when they're a girl, or that they're getting abortions, or that they're sexually active and same sex or opposite sex activities at school. This is being described as outing the kids, outing them. Well, the fact of the matter is, what that attorney general in that separate country of California describes is a case where the entire school knows that this boy is pretending to be a girl. The teachers have on the students' files, they have notes. When they're talking with the parents, they use male pronouns for the boy. They use his given name. But at school, he's called another name, a female name, and he's referred to with female hormones or female pronouns. And yes, if he wants those hormones and that surgery, they'll get it for him. That's not outing. The entire school knows, except for the parents. That's not outing. That's hiding. And the undercurrent to this is this cultural hurricane. This is not accidental that they choose to make the parents the enemy. That's not accidental. It's not moronic. It's not a mistake. It's not idiocy. It is a plan. And that plan is to use the cultural hurricane of this cultural revolution, which is real. Nothing that's happening is organic. It's planned. This is to eat away at the foundation of the family, to raise an entire generation of kids who believe that their parents simply cannot be trusted. Only the dear state can be trusted, and certainly not God. So we can have fear about this, just like we can fear the hurricane. We can worry about it just like we worry about the hurricane. Or we can pray. And we can pray to not fear, just as we just did. We can pray to trust God. And we do more. I was reading about some of the preparations that officials made in Florida, and it stands in brutal contrast to what the sadly inept and probably corrupt officials did in Maui and Lahaina, which was nothing. I was reading about the preparation for the high water vehicles ready to go, the training, the officers standing by, the fact that that DeSantis there has worked with hotels to allow people to bring their pets when they have to evacuate. The preparation. Well, the countries of California and Washington are not simply bringing this ideology about this destruction of the family about in their states. They are very much following the Maoist model. I'm talking about Chairman Mao. He wrote a paper called The Six Phases of a Revolution. And they're right now trying to enter us into this fifth to sixth stage, which is the removal of kids from the family, mentally or otherwise, and from God. Our preparation begins in the home with the foundation. The foundation of God's word, what God knows to be true about the sexes, about genders, and what God knows to be true is truth itself. What God knows about societies that function and don't function, and that is to the heart of how we deal with one another, how we interact, even with unbelievers, and what God says about how we weather the storms that are certainly to come, because they're here. So, on one hand, we pray, on the other hand, we prepare, and the two come together because prayerful preparation is what's going to get people through this hurricane, God willing, and through the hurricane of the culture war. Speaking of the culture war, we're talking about these ISIS smugglers next, plus about the war in Ukraine. More truth-telling, this from the Prime Minister of Hungary. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Hey, Hey, thanks for listening to Disciples View. I should just tell you, I was just visiting with Randy, who runs things behind the scenes for us, does a great job at that. But I love it when doing live radio, the Lord takes over a segment. That didn't follow my outline, and thank you, God, for that. I obviously intended to discuss the hurricane, but not in that way. And in fact, had some political stories about how people are using this to merchandise their political beliefs and agendas. And I just felt like God said, don't do that. Don't do that. This is a special medium because it's live and because people tune in every 5 minutes, every 15 minutes. And God's saying, hey, maybe someone needs to hear this right now. And he would know, right? We'll continue to cover this, obviously, and we'll get into the political aspect of this tomorrow. You heard perhaps in the AFR news at the top of the hour, we radio people say, about these ISIS-tied smugglers bringing Uzbekistanis into our country. And this is stunning. What, they're ISIS-tied? I must remind people and myself, most importantly, that there are people and organizations who intend to take this country down. And they work in government, many of them. I remind people that Barack Obama stopped, literally got in the way of an investigation that had taken years. It involved the FBI and the CIA and foreign intelligence to find, identify, track down smugglers. Once with the Taliban, another time with Hamas, who were bringing in the case of the Taliban, heroin, Hamas, it was cocaine, into our country, over through and across our southern border, in conjunction with the very drug cartels that now are destroying Mexico. Barack Obama stepped in and stopped the indictment of those people. They were about to be arrested. And the program stopped. Why did Barack Obama do that? Well, the charitable view is that he wanted to be able to tout his deal with Iran, or probably the Taliban. The less charitable view is because Barack Obama is one of those people who wants to see the country taken down. I stand with the latter. He's a cultural revolutionary, and in my judgment, a godless one. We are not being told the truth. There is a pattern emerging that the closer you get to people who know what's going on in Ukraine, the different, more different the story is compared to what we're being told here in the United States. And there's a reason that Tucker Carlson is the single most important journalist in a visual medium right now, even though he's on Twitter, which is getting him arguably a bigger audience than Fox, arguably. He went and decided to do something that any journalist could do, but haven't. He went to go have a discussion that's not to be had in a way it's not to be conducted. And maybe this is one of the reasons he's no longer on Fox News. Tucker went to meet with the prime minister of Hungary. He went to Budapest. This guy has dealt with Russia his whole life. He says his heart is with the Ukrainian people and Ukraine, and yet he's a pragmatist. So in this audio here, Tucker asked the prime minister of Hungary, who's dealt with Russia his entire adult life, about the state of the war.
So in the United States, the view is that Ukraine is winning this war. It doesn't sound like that's true.
No, it's a lie. It's not just a misunderstanding. It's a lie. It's impossible. Everybody who's in politics and understand the logic, the figures, the data, no way.
Why is it impossible?
Because that way, the poor Ukrainians die every day.
Yes.
Hundreds and thousands, So my heart is with them. So it's tragedy. It's tragedy for Ukraine. But they will run out earlier from the soldiers, number of soldiers, than the Russians. What finally will count is boots on the ground. And the Russians are far stronger, far numerous, more numerous
than
the Ukrainians.
Many more.
So this strategy, what we are just supporting, is a bad engineering of the strategy.
This doesn't match the way we are constantly lectured over here, that Ukraine is moments from victory. This affects his country. They border. They're on the border with Ukraine. So I would imagine that his assessment is perhaps not just more keen, more relevant. He has significantly more to lose at this moment. If one believes the Mike Pence model of this, and with all due respect to Mike Pence, who I met and had a private conversation with, a long one night in D.C., a long, respectful conversation. I called him Congressman. He said, please don't do that in private. Please just call me Mike. I found him kind and curious, and curiosity is a sign of intelligence. I am disturbed because I feel like he's running to be president of Ukraine. Perhaps he sees the same thing the prime minister of Hungary sees, Prime Minister Viktor Orban, that Russia will overrun Ukraine. But this is not what Orban said. Orban doesn't think that that's what Russia wants. So Tucker Carlson, in this audio clip, Tucker asked him what he would do if he was in charge of NATO.
Call back Trump. That's the only way out.
Call back Trump.
Call back Trump. Because, you know, you can criticize him for many reasons. I understand all the discussion. But, you know, the best foreign policy of the recent several decades belonged to him. He did not initiate any new war.
Yes.
He treated nicely the North Koreans and Russia, even the Chinese, you know. He delivered the policy was the best one for Middle East, Abraham Accords.
Yes.
So that was a very good foreign policy. He's criticized that he's not educated enough to understand the world. But this is not the case. Facts count. And his foreign policy was the best one for the world in the last several decades I have seen. And if he would have been the president at the moment of the Russian invasion started, no, it would be not possible to do that by the Russians. So Trump is the man who can save the Western world and probably the human beings in the globe as well.
Wow, that's a heck of a soundbite. That Trump is the guy who can save the Western world and probably the human beings of Earth. That's a heck of a soundbite. I have to wonder, and gosh, this is a stretch. Maybe you can help me figure it out. What would happen if a prime minister of a country next to Ukraine had said about Joe Biden can save the West and all the humans on Earth? That might have gotten some play. That might have led headlines. There is an element in life right now that I think that God has allowed, because God, of course, allows things. If he doesn't, he will disallow them, and we'll see that. That I think he is just allowing people to go beyond telling lies and become the lie. That is an enormously scary thought, that you could have people who actually are a noun. They're a lie. That they become incapable of telling the truth or discerning the truth. And I say this with I hope, love in my heart. This is an accessible bit of information for anybody who works in the mainstream media or in the Mockingbird media. This interview is 38 minutes long. It doesn't take long to watch. It took me about 5 minutes to pull the audio clips out, to pick the ones that I want for the show. And there's more in it. And really, you should go to Tucker's Twitter page and watch it. There's the discussion that he has, the prime minister, about God, about Christianity, about the Christian faith, and about the other side. There's the discussion they have about what it used to mean to be liberal and how liberalism has now become totalitarianism. And again, this guy is in Hungary, in Budapest, next one country away from Russia. And he talks about the different view that the Russians have of their country and Putin, and he compares our desire, that is the Western desire for freedom. And he believes, as prime minister, because Tucker asked him, how long, you know, how have you been able to keep the country together so long? And he said, really, it is protecting the people's freedom. That our job, our goal as a government is more freedom for the people, that we protect that. He said, this is not the case with Russia. He said the concern with Russia is holding the country together because it's so big and so diverse. And this, he said, is why Putin is militant about this and takes almost a military attitude towards this. And he said, look, this idea that Joe Biden has that he apparently thinks we can go in and assassinate Putin. Number one, no, you can't. The Russians will never give him up or cause the generals to turn on him. He said that is not going to happen because Russian people want to keep the country together. And if you did that, if somehow you got that done, you would absolutely have World War III. Absolutely, without question. He also warns that he is demanding peace now because he said the alternative will be world war. He said, you guys in America are going to put boots on the ground. You are going to physically engage with the Russians. And at that point, it is going to be World War III. I don't want to appease. I don't want to do the Neville Chamberlain thing. But I do want to be very, very prayerful and ask exactly what are the American interests over there. And if the line in the sand is, you were going to prosecute for peace in Ukraine. And the line in the sand is, the minute you, Putin, step outside Ukraine into the next country, now you started World War III. We could just say that. Hands off all the other countries. At that point, it is World War III. He says, by the way, that Putin does not necessarily want a war with NATO. That Tucker Carlson is doing this on Twitter, and Fox is not, and NBC is not, and CBS is not. These are selective decisions. This is a decision to not give this information to the American people. And we live in an era where the state wants to keep secrets. And I ask you this, in a family, how healthy is the family when everybody's keeping secrets from themselves? How healthy is a marriage where the husband or the wife is hiding receipts, hiding travel records, constantly deleting emails? That's not a situation of trust. And it's not that they're doing something of which they're proud. Our government is ashamed, I think, of what they're doing. And they know that if we knew the truth, there would be a far different response to this. So back to Tucker's discussion with the Prime Minister of Hungary, that he had in Budapest. Tucker Carlson asked Viktor Orban, Hungary's prime minister, why Orban is unpopular in the West.
I'm not the favorite politicians of the liberals, unfortunately, but nobody is perfect, you know.
But why do you think that is? The country seems to be thriving. That's usually the measure we use.
No. It's more about our civilization. I mean, the Western Christian civilization. Now, the main division line is not according to ideologies. It's deeper. It has an anthropological character. So on one side, in Europe and probably in your country, but in Europe definitely, there are groups of people who think that the most important thing of the world is their ego, themselves, me. This is the center of the world. The other camp of the people, the other part of the society thinks that it's not true, because there are certain things which are more important than me, than my ego, family, nation, God. And because they are more important than me, I have to serve this higher level of things. So this society has a majority here in Hungary. And the other society, which is concentrating only me, you know, only dealing with myself, it's more westernized, dominating factor of the political life. And the governments of the West, more belonging to the first group of the people, I belong to the second one, and Hungary belong to the second one. Our constitution is concentrating on the we, you know, how we are linked together, family, nation, God, what is common, you know? So we, the Hungarian nation, that's how we speak on that. It's totally out of fashion now in the Western European societies.
It's not just out of fashion. It is the ribbon that ties this all together, from my mind. In the case of Ukraine, we have a country that is demonstrably corrupt, that is frightfully corrupt, where corruption goes to flourish. We have Zelensky, who is an entertainer famous for dressing up as a woman. We have an entertainer. Where we have him embracing Build Back Better, embracing the lie of transgenderism, And you will see a very purposeful effort. And if you observe it in the country, it is all, once you see it, it's hard to unsee, of doing everything they can to flip the military society from patriotism, love of country, and the ultimate expression of godly love, the willingness to die for your brother. They're attempting to flip that into people who will take commands no matter how ridiculous, who in fact don't love the United States but hate it. And that is a flip. A country cannot survive. It cannot sustain it. They're doing the same thing with police forces. It is not a mistake. It's not a mistake at the FBI that they are running people through the social justice warrior, the perverse notions of sexuality, trying to force agents and cops to agree to this all. That's not a mistake. It's a design. The design is to make it unpalatable, not just that, but to make it morally impossible for decent Christian people to continue in these professions. Because the goal, as they do this, is to have the police forces flip into people who hate the country, who hate Christian values, because they're building an army for this cultural revolution. And I ask you, comparing this to the biblical times, what sort of army would Satan build? What sort of politicians would he want? We're in this time, and again, as we talked about with the hurricane in the first segment today, we can choose to fear, or we can choose to pray to not fear. We can choose to shelter in place, or we can choose to speak God's word boldly with truth wrapped in grace, knowing that we can be still and know he's the Lord. As for me, and I hope my household, we'll choose the latter. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. I appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I mentioned earlier that I have my pastor on my podcast once every month. We do on the podcast get pretty deep into single topics because podcasts are different. And this week I got extremely deep and we'll touch on this tomorrow. But I got extremely deep into what is in all likelihood in the manifesto for the of the young woman who went and shot up the Christian school and killed the three nine-year-old kids. I bring that up because we got the outline of what is in the manifesto for the deeply ill, perhaps spiritually captured, if not possessed, killer in Jacksonville who went on that shooting spree. And I'm thankful that we got the outline of the manifesto so we know what sort of evil had befallen him and he'd given into. However, we still don't have the manifesto for the young woman who shot up the Christian school. I've studied not just the cult, but the militant organizing of people suffering from and being conned into the trans psychoses. And I believe I can tell you exactly what's in that manifesto. So that's on my podcast. You can get that at thetoddhermanshow.com or just go search The Todd Herman Show on iTunes. We have a God. Of course, he invented humor. God will not be mocked. And when people try to mock God, it ends very poorly because he's God and we're not. And I think God sometimes puts the foolishness of the so-called wise on display. He tells us that God uses the simple things to fool the wise and the weak things to shame the strong. So we're going to go through some examples of that, as is our wont, in the last segment of the show. So we'll get started in today's example of God using the simple things to shame the wise.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
There, it's not a week that goes by, it's not a day that goes by that I can't take something out of the separate country of Washington and the separate universe of Seattle just to show folks what's coming. They passed what is a tax increase, and they blame it upon, I have to check off. It's not global cooling. That was earlier. It's not acid rain. They faked that. It's not global warming. It's climate change. In other words, it's the weather. So in a state where the dictator, Jay Inslee, made climate promises over things he had complete control, such as replacing the entire state motor pool with electric cars, which incidentally are not good for the climate, not good for the earth, and incidentally also largely use coal to be powered. He promised to turn the entire state motor pool to electric, and he didn't. He set climate goals and carbon dioxide goals, which they call carbon, and he failed at each and every one of them. So they disappeared them from his website, the state website. They just disappeared it. Memory hold it. Orwell-like. Well, new from the separate country of Washington. They passed a tax increase, but it's for carbon. It's for carbon dioxide, and it's to make sure that polluters pay their fair share. And this came down on top of Puget Sound Energy. Puget Sound Energy is a corrupt monopoly that operates largely in the Seattle area. They're so corrupt that there was a time and so openly never punished for the corruption. There was a guy who dressed up as a fake Native American. And I mean, actually, if you wanted to be inappropriate in blatant and terrible cultural appropriation, showed up at a Puget Sound Energy facility in a school bus and explained that he needed copper wiring for the tribe. And they did no research. They just gave him a bunch of copper wiring. There you go. Have a good day. And the guy wasn't Native American or anything like that. There was no tribe. There was just swindle. So that same Puget Sound Energy has been told, you have to collect $16 million more in taxes and fees for the weather. Well, Puget Sound Energy, in a moment of clarity and some morality, said, well, we'll have to tell our customers. Well, this is where the government got involved. The Washington State Utilities and Transportation Commission has stepped up. Now, remember, this is a commission that's meant to protect consumers. If a car company came along and started lying about the gas mileage a car got, or said it's a hybrid when it's not, the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission could tag them with a big fine. That's fraud. That's fraud. What the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission said to Puget Sound Energy is, you don't get to tell your customers about the bill increase. You don't get to send them letters and emails saying, here's why your rates are going up. And when they call to ask, hey, I just noticed my utility rates just went up. Why is that? You can't tell them. You have to say, I'm not allowed to say that. Well, I don't even know if they get to say that, but they can't tell them. So a government agency tasked with protecting consumers from fraud and safety dangers or safety issues is saying it is verboten to communicate this to customers. Want to know why? Because it might confuse them. The poor little deers with their pointy small heads and triangular brains, they can't get that a price increase has come about because of an act of government to pay for a so-called carbon reduction, which of course means carbon dioxide reduction. They're babbling, and it's on display for everyone to see. Second instance, the dictator of Canada, Justin Trudeau, and when I use that word dictator, I'm not joking. We have realized that if someone, well, in this country, if there's a bad flu, the Bill of Rights are gone. That means we don't really have governors. We have dictators. They just act like governors when they want to. The dictator of Canada, Justin Trudeau, has been going around touting his regime's travel advisory for same-sex attracted and gender-denying people. The travel advisory against the United States, by the way. In this audio clip here, his deputy prime minister was asked about it by Rebel News. Listen to her babble.
Why has your government issued the travel advisory for LGBTQ plus people to the United States? And was this something you discussed with President Biden, or your government discussed with President Biden first?
So, you know, as someone who has had the real privilege of serving as Canada's foreign minister, I know that our travel advisories are done very professionally. We have professionals in the government whose job is to look carefully.
Is she going to answer?
Around the world and to monitor whether there are particular dangers to particular groups of Canadians.
Yes.
That's their job, and it's the right thing to do. When it comes to the United States specifically...
Yes, here we go. Here we go. The pause is hers.
I have personal experience...
That was her pausing.
...of dealing with a diversity of U.S. administrations and of dealing with American leaders at all levels of government, in all branches of government, and with Americans from... who represent diverse groups across the country, whether it is
labor
or civic organizations. And that's because our government understands, as every Canadian government needs to understand, that one of the principal responsibilities of the federal government is to understand how to work with our U.S. neighbor. I think our government has shown that that's a priority for us and that we work hard at it, and that we're able to manage that relationship regardless of the choices that the people of the United States make. Even as we work hard as we work hard on that government to government relationship, every Canadian government, very much including our government, needs to put at the center of everything we do the interests and the safety of every single Canadian and of every single group of Canadians. That's what we're doing now. That's what we're always going to do.
Her name is Chrystia Freeland, the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. And you can hear there that she is right on top of why they issued this travel advisory. Here's the truth. We did it to shame people in preparation for an American election. We did it as election interference. We did it to create fear in the hearts of people who are same-sex attracted and have been gender conned or are gender defiant or gender denying. You know why we did it. Why are you asking me in this act of theater? And it is an act of theater. When you enter the stage of politics where everything is performative, let us not fail to appreciate good performances versus that one. She may as well have read a list of ingredients. And it is, of course, that they focus upon same-sex attracted people and gender-defiant and gender-rebellious, gender-denying people, gender-angry people. Because as all things, as we study, at all times, they must stand adverse to God's design. And they must absolutely give us opportunities to look straight into Scripture and just see for ourselves. Romans 1, 26 through 32. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And yes, amen and amen again. Having lived in Babylon, and I think that the separate country of Washington, well, much more the separate universe of Seattle is Babylon, I had this following experience that evermore convinces me that the teachings of the Lord Jesus about how will people know you're with me? It is how you treat others, that you love one another. That's how they'll know. I had this thing happen in Seattle where I wasn't there, which was disappointing to me. But some protesters came by to protest my radio show that God gifted me with all those years ago. And it was, gosh, only 2 years since I left. And I wasn't there. They became very, very aggressive with our receptionist. And they were Antifa types, demanding to see me. And of course, he's here. We're listening to his radio show. And well, no, he recorded that before he left. He's not here. And they started to call her names and started to call me a homophobic, racist, etc. When out of the staff area came a young man who his description of himself, this is not my words, these are his, flaming gay, went up to the reception desk and in his flaming gay voice, which he describes as flaming gay, he put his finger in their face and said, you don't get to say that about my friend. And you stop hassling this young woman. And he went on to tell them, when I had a money problem, that man, he goes, and I hate everything he says on his radio show. Todd is wrong about everything. Wrong, 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 wrong. It's a hateful radio show. But when I was in need, he came to me and he helped me. And he is the furthest thing from a homophobe. And he actually said, and I can out-gay any of you. So, shamed, they left. You know what began that? Simply one day, his name is Christopher, he came by, walking by my cubicle, and I was prepping for the show, and he saw some CDs. One of them was by a band called Crowded House, secular band. And he said, oh my gosh, Crowded House? I said, oh, absolutely. Neil Finn's the most gifted pop songwriter since Lennon and McCartney, without a doubt. You know them? I said, oh, goodness, Christopher, are you kidding me? From the Split Ends up. And thus began this conversation, usually about music, but also about life. When he learned that I attended church, he was shocked. You know I'm gay. I said, no, I guessed. Are you okay with that? I said, Christopher, you know the biblical belief of this, right? No, I think it's a sin. And guess what? I probably sin just as often, just in different ways. This is before I was a disciple, but God gifted me with some wisdom in talking to that young man. What he meant, by the way, was he had no money for rent. I did have money. I loaned it to him. He paid it back. Is that the seed that was planted? We have opportunities as we interact with everybody to try to have God's face shine through us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God values words, so we speak. This is The Disciples' View. Thank you for listening. I'm Todd Herman.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.